Intervju Radija Študent.
Torej, lep dober dan v terminu za Ereš intervju. Danes z nami v studiu Tom Ellis, producent, zdaj pač uradno Mikrohaus, ampak ga bomo o tem malo več vprašali, torej danes v intervjuju. Nastopi pa danes na otvoritvenem dogodku nove sezone v klubu K4, ki se kot ponovadi začne ob 23. uri. Ob njemu bo nastopil še en zelo cenjen tuj gost, Move D, tudi en od pionirskih evropskih elektronskih producentov, pa seveda še izbrani domači DJ. Zdaj se bomo pa kar preselili v intervjuju. So, hi Tom.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Very good, thanks.
So yeah, I announced you as a Mikrohaus producer. How do you cope with that label?
Yeah, that suits me. I try and do a lot of different styles, so I don't know. Depends what day of the week it is, I suppose.
But lately it's Mikrohaus.
Yeah.
The audience of Radio Student is probably most familiar with producers like Matthew Herbert or Akufan, not sure how it's pronounced, because they sort of put this type of house music on the music map. Let's say they're
definitely
the ones most notable.
Yeah.
So how do you see these two producers? With your aesthetics, you're probably closer to Akufan.
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned my two favorite producers. Matthew Herbert especially is the theories behind his music, the thought he puts into it, really, I think he stands out from the crowd, and people should take more influence from the way he thinks about his music. And Akufen was probably the first producer that got me into dance music. His bass lines and his clean production really, really stood out for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a coincidence I mentioned those two, because when I listen to your music, it reminded me to their stuff. Yeah. But probably they're the ones that I know the most, so
yeah,
that was the connection. As far as UK go, it's pretty much the main place when it's come to interesting electronic club music. Maybe lately that's been slightly interrupted with the scene in Berlin, which is really strong as well. But still, the club music in UK was the one that mostly set up the whole electronic scene, I would say.
Wow.
But you know, with stuff like acid house, which occurred early in the 90s, then it went on to rave, jungle and stuff around Warp Records. Then now it's dubstep, but at least here from our perspective we don't hear much about British Mikrohaus. Where does Mikrohaus fit in all this, or house music?
I don't know, it's still very undiscovered in the UK, really. Or maybe not undiscovered, but there's so much music out there these days that people, I don't know, I suppose they get what's easiest available to them. And there's a lot of promoters that put on nights with more minimal house and deeper house and stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what's the thing that dictates what is more exposed to the people?
I guess it's the promoters, because it's, I don't know, the radio stations as well. Radio 1 has started playing a lot of kind of similar stuff to that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the promoters, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. And how much of inspiration did you get from all these various scenes or music styles that occurred in UK, you know, since the end of 80s, basically?
Well, I was involved a lot with the free party scene in Wales, which was very hard techno and trance, sort of in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So that had a big influence in getting me into dance music, because I listened to a lot of rock music before that.
Mm-hmm.
Played a lot of guitar and stuff, so...
Uh-huh. You were involved in other bands before you started DJing. What kind of music? Rock music, as you say?
Yeah, kind of Red Hot Chili Peppers and Metallica and all that sort of
stuff. Yeah, you mentioned Wales, your home. You know, just south of you is Cornwall, which gave plenty of great producers like Richard D. James and Luke Weibert and other people. I know that they have these local raves. Was that something common to Wales as well?
Yeah, I think it's probably got a lot to do with the lack of commercial clubs in the areas. They're very rural areas, so people end up going out into the hills to make their own parties, and the music inevitably gets stranger.
Right. And what kind of music were you into? You said you played rock music, but can you remember maybe some of your favorite artists while you were growing up?
I was into a lot of 70s rock, Jimi Hendrix and Pink Floyd and stuff like that. Stuff that was kind of experimental but very musical. And slowly got into the dance music through people like Acufen and Matthew Herbert.
Mm-hmm. And when did you discover this more electronic side of music, like raves and stuff? Did you get involved or attend these parties early on?
Yeah, well, my dad organised a lot of the free parties in the hills of Wales, and my brother was a DJ way before I was. So I was kind of just following
suit. It runs in the family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you remember what was what triggered your decision, you know, to get involved in producing house music particularly?
I think it had a lot to do with my brother and Leif, who I went to school with, that I run Trim Sound with, and Stevio from Mindtoes Records. After meeting those guys, I'd already been writing a little bit of house, and they picked out what they liked and encouraged me to do more along those lines.
Mm-hmm. It's this stuff or this music that was around the Warp Records, you know, which was really sort of influential. Mm-hmm. And from our perspective, we get the feeling that it's quite an important part of the British electronic music. Is that how you see it in UK as well? Or is it a more obscure label, as you know, we like to show it in...
It's definitely more obscure in the UK, but I don't know, personally, Warp was never something that I followed, but my brother and my friends were very much into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you do see it's very, very popular these days.
Mm-hmm. I saw a clip, I think on YouTube, of one of your live shows when you... It wasn't that classic micro house style, but it was more sort of atmospheric, more maybe even experimental, if we can use that term.
Right.
You know, it reminded me, especially through atmospherics, what was going on at Mill Plateau label at the turn of the millennium. Did you follow any of that stuff?
No, I didn't actually know.
Because aesthetically, I think that there are some connections maybe as well through. Yeah, you released your music, among others, on your label, then also on French and Canadian labels. Do you think that there's no much interest in this type of music in UK for now, or how did you end up on, you know, French and Canadian labels?
It was more because of the music they were already releasing. It had a big influence, and it felt like there were connections to be made there because we were into similar things.
Mm-hmm. And what's currently the status of your Trim Sound record label?
We've decided not to do any more vinyl for the time being because it's a little bit expensive to keep going. But we hope to carry on doing a few digital releases every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly another record label in the future sometime.
Mm-hmm. Where do you tend to perform the most nowadays? You know, or where do you get the best reception?
It differs everywhere I go, to be honest, but really enjoyed playing in Canada earlier this year. Played in Toronto and Montreal.
It seems that Toronto especially is very open towards this kind of music.
Yeah, well, apparently it's not always been that way, and there's the people that booked me are really creating a scene there at the moment. they're booking some great artists and really bringing that sort of music to the town again.
If we say tech house got popular, you know, in the beginning of the millennium, but it seems that music with a stronger personal note is coming, it's finding in its way back into this type of music. So, you know, it could be said that every producer has his or her personal touch to music, but in this more club-oriented music, that is in a way harder to pin down, you know, this personal touch. So how do you see this? Is this an important element for you, or do you look more for the, you know, groove? And
personally, I think it comes from a lot of people using the same machines to make the music, so there doesn't seem to be personal sound design going on in a lot of minimal stuff and the sort of club techno and stuff. So I think it's a lot to do with the machines people are using and the software people are using. I think people should be a bit more experimental, and maybe that's a way to introduce more personal touch to it.
Mm-hmm. Because in the past, especially those musics we talked about, maybe IDM, if that's the term, used lots of decorated samples, really careful selections of samples, either they created them themselves, or where do you find material for your music?
Recently I've been doing a lot of found sound stuff myself, and lots of field recordings and
field recordings. You record yourself?
I'm trying to record as many different things from pots and pans to strangers in the streets, you know. Mm-hmm. I try and get sounds from different sources basically and see what I can do with them, but while still trying to synthesize my own sounds, I've been making a lot of my own synthesizer patches and stuff.
Another question, we talked about this earlier, you know, there seems to be interesting things happening in house and techno music, but this music, as we said, rarely comes to surface in front of a wider audience. It's more specific to club audience. You know, it seems that for a short period of time, when some new music style occurs, there's this big interest in for it, like it was with Akufen. Then it slowly fades away. Do you think that nowadays we strive towards new things more than we should?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, people are very, I don't know if you know the word fickle, but people tend to change their mind quite quickly. And maybe it's something to do with the amount of information we have now, you know, how quickly things can get put into the public domain.
Right. So we only have like 4 minutes left, so maybe a couple more questions about your live performance. You already talked about what drives you when you work in the studio, but what do you put focus on when you play live?
I try and kind of mainly remix my own work and present and release stuff to see how it works and before producing it properly.
I read that you often perform with software called Reason, which probably allows you, you know, to do, if you use another edgy term, improvisation. It allows you to manipulate with the sequences.
Exactly, it gives you access to the machines, so you're not bound to pre-recorded audio and stuff.
Mm-hmm. But when you're a classical DJ as well, with vinyl and...
Not for a long time. I used to play when I was maybe 17, 18, but I haven't been able to afford records, to be honest.
Yes, so you said you play mostly your own songs, but occasionally do you play some other producers? You know, what is the thing that makes a song perfect or good for you?
I think it's impossible to say, but it has to have something unique. It has to stand out from everything else. for me personally, I look for nice chord structures and melodic structures and stuff. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily obvious, but they have to be in there somewhere.
Right. So for tonight, are we up for a DJ set or a, if we say live act?
It's a live act. There'll be lots of unreleased stuff and some remixes of old stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so sounds excellent. Thank you for joining us. Great, in the studio.
Thank you for inviting me.
To je bil torej Tom Ellis, danes večer ga lahko skupaj z Movie Dion pa še domačimi DJ vidite na otvoritvenem dogodku letošnje sezono v klubu K4. Intervju sem pripravil Goran, za tehniko poskrbel Gašpar. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.